Talking with Tim English, his book, John Lennon, 1980 Playlist. If you love the Beatles, especially John Lennon, this is a deep dive that you do want to get into. Let's continue. You mentioned a number of times that, I'm sure this happened all the time, that John was annoyed by people always asking him when the Beatles would get back together. How did he typically handle that recurring question?
He would ask them, when are you going back to high school?
Did he really?
Yeah. He'd say, I have no interest in going back in time. I was never one for reunions and going back and seeing my old schoolmates and so forth. He said, we did it once, and why do we have to do it again? And, you know, I really admire that in him, and I guess the other Beatles, too, where they seem to have a kind of an intuitive understanding that what happened during the 60s was part of the time, and you couldn't recreate it. It's like that philosophical thing, you can only stick your hand in the river one time. And I think he understood that you just couldn't recreate those circumstances. It just wouldn't have lived up to people's expectations.
I love the story of John's take on how the B-52's Rock Lobster was a good thing for Yoko's acceptance as an artist and ultimately her work on Double Fantasy.
It's really a pivotal song. And one of the things I document in the book is how certain songs really impacted John's life and influenced decisions that he made. John is at a disco in Hamilton, Bermuda in June, and he hears Rock Lobster come over the sound system, and he hears immediately, he picks up on the fact that they were, as I believe he said, doing Yoko, and Kate Pearson of the B-52s, who does sort of that Yoko vocalism in that song, she said, yeah, that we were fans of Yoko Ono, and they had her earlier records. And John picked up on that right away, and they were actually sort of imitating Yoko on that song. And John said, wow, you know, like the world is finally catching up with the work that they were doing with the Plastic Ono Band a decade earlier. And he called Yoko and says, hey, this is the time, you know, it's your time. It's the time to get back in the studio and start making music again. Another song we mentioned earlier coming up that probably compelled him to get back in the studio, but he heard Queen's Crazy Little Thing Called Love, which was the number one hit in the U.S. in the spring of 1980, and he heard them kind of doing Elvis on that song. It's a very un-Queen-like song, I think, you know. It doesn't have the typical Queen sort of hard rock bombast in it. And but he picked up on that and said, hey, this is my time again. You know, if a record like this where they're kind of rockabilly Elvis song is number one, you know, maybe it's time for me to come back.
What's interesting is John did not initially think that Queen was good enough to be recommended to Apple Records to sign, right?
Yeah, there was a story that I believe Tony Bramwell told that he's a little fuzzy on the timing of this, but I'm going to say it was around 1972. It was before Queen got signed. And he had a demo tape that included some of their, I believe it included Killer Queen, which was their kind of breakthrough hit a couple years later. But he said John, he wanted to sign them, but John, as an officer of Apple, kind of turned thumbs down on that. I did speak to somebody recently, and this is not in the book, that said they attended a meeting with John in 1980. He was with a record company, and he said John demonstrated that he was quite familiar with Queen's output.
If John were alive today, would he still be active in music as Paul and Ringo are?
Total speculation. I would think artistically he'd certainly be active. When you think of John, you know, when you read up on him a little bit, you really think of him as an artist with a big A, that he was always creating something. You know, he really chose the musical world as his main outlet, but he made films, he made cartoons, he wrote prose, he wrote poems. He would have been creative in some way. It's interesting, though, we don't know, though, because the 80s were a rough time for a lot of the 60s artists, if you go back and think about it. The Stones had a rough time, Bob Dylan, Paul McCartney. It was kind of a valley in their careers. Would the same thing have happened to John? I don't know. But what John was working on in the last week of his life was Yoko's song, Walking on Thin Ice, a track of which had been recorded back during the Double Fantasy sessions in the summer. If you listen to that track, it sounded like it could have been recorded this year. It's so modern and cutting edge. John plays some really cool guitar on it, And, you know, when Double Fantasy came out, some people said, oh, he's gone a little soft, because he was singing about his life. He was singing about being a contented husband and father. He wasn't, you know, 20 years old anymore. But if you listen to Walking on Thin Ice, I think maybe that's a little hint that he was still kind of cutting edge and would have been exploring new musical territory.
Tim English, John Lennon 1980 Playlist is the book. Thank you so much for your time. Great stories.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure, Mike.